Let me record this. My name is Lisa Smith, for those of you who don't know me, and I'm the Chief Program Officer here at NJHSA. And I'm really happy to be in this affinity group with you all at the end of 2020, which has been such a hard year. I am especially happy to be in this affinity group with the chairs that have been with me since the beginning, Laura Gilman from Kansas City and Victoria Pivnik from LA. As we had mentioned before, Victoria is not going to be our chair next, or did we mention it?
Yeah.
And if we didn't, Victoria will tell you at the end of this, whoopsie. So forget all that. I wish I could start recording now, but I want to thank you both for being such fabulous chairs. It has been a pleasure working with you both and for always thinking about what we can do to make this engaging for our constituency. So with that said, Laura, take it away, I guess, or whoever's taking it away.
Happy to. Lisa, I'll let you admit people, yeah?
Yep.
Are we good? Okay, awesome. Well, hi everyone. It's so good to see everyone's faces, some people's backgrounds, but we're glad you're all here. I love it. Yonit's maybe at a virtual Hanukkah party, like she was in a virtual sukkah. So she's all over the holidays. We're just so glad to see everyone. It's been such a tough year, but it would have been so much tougher if we weren't together in this together. So we're just grateful that everyone's here. We have a speaker for the first part of our affinity group meeting. So I'm going to turn it over to Amy, but before I do, I just wanted to share a little something. If you don't know about Kavod, you're going to know about it. Amy's going to tell us about it. But also I just wanted to share this incredible small piece of what they do. This is one of our survivors right here, Judy. And Kavod does this incredible work. This is her family. Can you all see my screen? Just do like this. Okay. This is her, her husband, her daughter, and grandkids. They do incredible work, and some of the incredible work they do is these awesome photographs. And we had it at our Jewish Community Center, so we opened it up to the day school that was in the building, and it was just, it was really one of the best days we've ever had at JFSKC. Anyway, I just wanted to share that because that's what really this is all about. And Amy and John just get it so much. They get it. They get what we're doing. They get the importance of it. So I'm going to let her share about Avode and perhaps how they can support some of our agencies that aren't already connected with them.
Thank you. Oh my gosh, I am so overwhelmed and excited. I see so many friends here. Thank you so much for including me, inviting me to come on for just a few minutes to say hello to the network team. We started with connecting with the network a little over five years ago when we began Kavod, and we had, you know, 18 communities that we would be sending out gift cards to help with, and every gift card made a difference. And here we are closing out 2020 in a way that we never could have imagined. With our newest program that's been in existence since 2019, mid-year 2019, called Kavod Chef, the Survivors of the Holocaust Emergency Fund. We started with the idea of 12 communities. We quickly had 18 communities come on board in 2019. This year, we're up to 28. And without question, we already have 30 on board for 2021. And we know there'll be more. Just this year, and within the Kavod Chef program, we have filled over 1,500 emergency requests across the country, distributing, without question, it'll be over $2.5 million. So if you combine 2020 with 2019, well over $3 million, new dollars, has come into this space for survivor Holocaust emergency unmet needs due to the incredible partnership with Seed the Dream Foundation. They're 20 plus funders who came on board to be matching donors, and the partners on the ground, you guys, many of you, who have come together, your agencies with your federations, to create this collective collective communal response to this crisis. Not only is it increased resources coming into the space, it's increased awareness. And those two things combined is what's changing and impacting these extraordinary humans, individual by individual by individual. In addition to our chef project, Kavod is still here doing the work we did when we started. We've expanded it a little bit because we know more now. So we are doing within communities that aren't part of our match partnership through chef. We have many communities that we're working with that we're still giving gift cards, or we're actually being able to do a little bit of the direct service payments. And that's really what chef is. It's really about that direct service to pay that dentist, to pay that doctor, to pay that landlord, etc. And if there are small community representation, if there's any representation of a agency here, of a community here that's not familiar with Kavod, reach out to me. Let's talk. How can we help you? What can we do for you? Whether you live in Raleigh, North Carolina, Chicago, Illinois, Miami, Central New Jersey, LA, New York, Kansas City, Silicon Valley, Connecticut. We have two now communities in Connecticut. I see Rebecca on there, and so on and so forth. It's just extraordinary how we're doing this together, and we're doing it as partners. I don't know how much more to go into detail. I just was asked to just kind of give you a brief overview of what we're doing, but we are still out there raising dollars for Kavod so we can work with survivors who are in communities that aren't part of CHEF, and we're raising dollars to be part of this partnership with CHEF. And regardless of where that survivor lives or what their situation is, we want to work with you. And I'll stop by saying, I'll end by saying, it is because of partnerships with all of you on the screen is the reason we can do this. I see Yonid on here, and her team in Chicago have been with us from day one, just like Laura in Kansas City. And they have worked with us and guided us and educated us so we can do this work together. So thank you so much. Please send a note to me if you want to reach out. We are always interested in working with more and more communities. I can tell you one other thing, we are working a lot with some Orthodox communities and some neighborhoods that need a little extra help too. So we're expanding and we're growing, and we're here for you and we're here for them. And we're thrilled to be a part of your community. So thank you.
Amy, you've got big fans here on the side in the chat. So
I hope
yes.
No.
And also put in your email, sure. Right? So people can reach out to you directly. That would be fantastic.
Sure.
Amy, you've got major big fans in the chat. Kavod Chef, we are your biggest fans. You're our hero. Kavod Chef has made such an impact. Amy and John and Kavod are amazing. We love working with you, Amy. So
thank you. Oh my God. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I have to do a quick shout out for John if I have 2 seconds, because you all know John is the guy who through his passion of taking photos is how we got here. And because we haven't been able to travel to see survivors, it's just killing us that we can't do this, but not John. He has found ways to touch survivors outside of the photographs. He's connected with students in small areas in Tennessee to connect them. They've been writing letters, and he's connecting them to survivors all across the country to create pen pals. And he's working with other groups and other people and he calls these survivors on a regular basis. So, you know, it's not just the dollars and resources, it's the key piece of isolation. And he is a genius at that. So I will pass along the love to him. He wanted me to make sure to say hello. So thank you all. And these partnerships with you guys, with the network, with JFNA, with JFS, with every partner on the ground, every donor, every individual, it's only through that collective communal response that we can all do this together and make a difference. And y'all's innovation is mind-blowing through this Kavod year. So thank you. Happy Hanukkah. And may 2021 be so much better. Thank you. I'm so,
so much better. Amen to that. So thank you, Amy, for coming and for sharing with us.
Thank you so much, Amy. Thank you for always being available and for doing the work. Bye, Amy. Bye. Thank you. Thank you. So nice. So nice that to have one of our own here for a little infomercial. If you don't know Amy, please reach out to her. She and her partner, John, have done just incredible things for the survivor community. So, and she just never seems like it's too much. They're always welcoming another community. So they've just been the best. They've been the best. Victoria, should you and I, do you want to tag team this next part?
You're muted.
I think you're still muted. That's the tagline, right, of 2020. I think you're still muted.
We can't hear you. Maybe you turned down your volume. You're muted now.
Well, I will lead us off. Really, we know that everyone's time is so valuable. So we've tried. We will need to get a survey out to everyone so that we can get feedback. We've tried this year to have a little bit of content and then a little bit of community building because we know that's important too. So we wanted to have Amy on to do that content piece and make sure that we've all got, you know, relevant resources at our fingertips. And then we also, you know, it's 2020, like it's just literally been a year of a dumpster fire. So we're just like, we thought it might be helpful just to have some time to reflect on, you know, the things that we are proud of that we've done in 2020, the ways we've lived by our values. And we wanted to give people a time to share and talk in the chat too, if you don't feel comfortable speaking up. So I'll put some prompts in the chat. Does that sound like a good next step, Victoria and Lisa? I'll put them in the chat so everyone can see them, and then I'll also say them out loud. But yes. We're really, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say that dumpster fire sounds about right with the tag, you're muted. And it's been a year, but I think between all of us, there is so much strength. There are so many positive and silver linings that have happened that I'm sure all of us will be able to bring something to the table. I'm sorry, there is fire alarm going behind me. But everybody here is such an inspiration, and everybody brings so much to this group, to your own agency. And I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, thank you to everybody. And I hope like we really get to inspire each other today.
So a couple of questions that we've posed in the chat, you know, we wanted to talk silver linings. What 2020 accomplishment are you most proud of? You're welcome to speak up or write in the chat. And also kind of along that same line, share an example of a way that you or your agency lived by your values this year. It's been an extra challenging year. So how were we able to lean into our values despite all the challenges? I'm going to kick us off because I have to tell you all, if you've talked to me, you know that I have a really tender spot in my heart for the Polish pension because it's been such a hassle. But I believe that I secured Polish pension for one of my clients this year, and it was just something that I feel like I can really celebrate. Like so much has changed, and I felt really grounded by the fact that some things haven't changed. And you know, we know these reparations don't bring back people's families. They don't undo trauma, but they, I hope, in some way, bring some semblance of justice. So I just feel really proud of that. And it's been a long journey for us. So Cindy, you want to speak up? Cindy Minetti? I know you're not shy.
Unmute. Turn my video back on. I think my husband stopped walking behind me in the kitchen.
Cindy, it wasn't me who called you out this time.
I know. Thanks, Laura. I just want to say what I'm really proud of is my team. And they just haven't missed a beat. You know, we pivoted very quickly in Florida to being out of the office. And, you know, as an agency, our IT folks got everybody up and remote within about a week. And we have 500 employees in our agency. And we're in multiple locations. So that was a big accomplishment at the agency level. For the Holocaust team, you know, we pivoted quickly to making frequent calls to the survivors since we couldn't go see them. And actually, I feel like we did almost more case management as a result. You know, some of them didn't want home care for a while because they didn't want anybody in their house. But for the most part, you know, we have 18 home care agencies that we work with because we're spread out over so many counties. And, you know, they all put their own protocols in place for safety and PPE. And we really haven't had any issues with the home care workers or the clients. I mean, we have had a couple of COVID cases, but nothing serious, thank God. We had one in a nursing home that passed away, but that wasn't anything that we were involved with. It was just one of our survivors that we were sad about. But, you know, we've been putting on things virtually. I think that's our biggest challenge, is to try to do more of that and reach the people who would normally come to in-person socialization that aren't all technology savvy. But I'm just really proud of my team because they stepped up, and we just haven't missed. I just feel like we just haven't missed a beat. We're just in our new normal of working at home and listening to each other's dogs bark during the day and kids behind us and all sorts of things. But other than that, we're still here.
With a smile on your face, Cindy.
I'll say my biggest challenge was this morning my coffee machine broke. So as soon as I'm off of this call, I got to go buy a new one. That was like the worst of everything is today, is not being able to make a cup of coffee.
Thanks for sharing, Cindy. Yeah, just continuing the work, right? That's really a miracle in 2020, continuing the work and making an awesome pivot. I see that Shelley shared the JFNA, which if you've noticed the bottom of their emails, there's a different, it's got different wording now. So they submitted a complicated grant proposal and got it all while she was on parental leave, which is amazing. Leia, good work. She salutes you in this. That's awesome. That's awesome. And JFNA has been a big supporter of a lot of our agencies. That's great, Shelley.
Rebecca, did you want to say something?
Okay. Anyone else want to speak up with their voice? It's okay if you don't.
I want to do a little shout out to Jenny, who I'm a super fan of. And I really appreciate how you just stepped up without even being asked. And you facilitated these amazing groups for us, because your phrase really stuck with me. We're all in a storm, just in a different boat. And it was so wonderful to hear from other people. And it just, I feel like, brought all of us closer together. So not only like we have very similar purposes, you know, with working with Holocaust survivors and doing this amazing work, but it also brought us to a very human level of what we're dealing with and what's happening and how COVID is affecting us. So Jenny, I really want to just say thank you from the bottom of my heart and Laura's heart, and everybody who was able to participate.
I participated. It was excellent. And thank you. And that's so true, Jenny. She heard what we were talking about in the last session and how people felt that they could be feeling overwhelmed and burning out. And she wrote and said, I'd like to do something. And for those of us who participated, it was an intimate gathering and we did get a lot out of it. People are nodding who participated, and she has stepped up again, and we're going to be offering it 3 times throughout the course of 2021. So if you weren't able to attend any of them, sign up fast, because we can only have 10 people in each session, and in order for people to really get something out of them. But thank you. Thank you so much, Jenny.
Hi, I'm Bonnie Jaffe. I'm kind of new to the group, but I live in St. Paul, Minnesota, and I am the coordinator for our Holocaust work at JFS in St. Paul. We have JFCS across the river, and we sort of don't really combine. So I just wanted to say that our agency is really little. We have 2 other people that work on Holocaust clients that are case managers. And it's been a really trying year. We've lost several clients to COVID just recently, actually, too. And we've provided a lot of care for some of our status one clients, even though our budget wouldn't allow for it. So I just appreciate the support of our administration, actually, because their philosophy is whatever survivors need, they get. So they will raise up the money, even if, you know, claim, if we don't have the money in our budget from claims conference. So.
Welcome, Bonnie. Thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah, no problem.
Those are big wins. Those are big wins.
There.
You can outsmart the system. I always think that's a big social work win. I always say, where's the back door, right?
We didn't outsmart the system. I gave those hours to our status one client because, you know, I just said, that's it. This is what we do. And I had the support of our, you know, higher up administration, which was actually excellent. So
that's a great example of living your values.
Yes, absolutely. Awesome. And I fight up against that a lot with different things, but supportive administration in St. Paul.
Thank you, Bonnie. Thank you. Yonit, please speak up. We're ready.
I just would echo everything everyone's said about shifting and pivoting and adapting and all those things that we've had to do so quickly and so intensively and how it's had to continue. We have, as most of you know, a large group of survivors, so it's been challenging to reach out to them. But we've somehow managed to do that, at least with 8 support groups that we're running on Zoom, combination of calling and Zoom. We also were able to add more than 180 new clients to our caseloads through the pandemic. So this is without seeing people in person, but we wanted to make sure we could get assistance to them in any way we could. So that was a big feat. And we also onboarded a couple new staff. And we were able to deliver a couple times, both for in the beginning with PPE, then in Rosh Hashanah with challah and honey, and then just this last week with some Hanukkah treats and songs and recipes and things to 2,000 survivors, which was an enormous challenge to do that safely with our staff, to be able to come in and manage packing mailers and figuring out how to do that. We were going to have volunteers deliver, but then that got shut down because of the pandemic. So I feel like it's like the partridge in the pear tree, 2,180, all of that. But you know, I wish we could reach out to more of them, in both in person and virtually, but I am very, really proud of my team. And without your support and knowing that all of you are sort of struggling with the same things, it would be a lot harder. So thank you for being there this whole year through this, to the network and to all of you.
Thanks, Yonit.
I just want to add, we have lost, not, you know, we feared it would be more, but we've had an uptick lately. And we have unfortunately lost quite a few survivors to COVID and also just more than usual without knowing necessarily if it was COVID related, but I think that it's impacting our survivors in lots of ways, so.
And Yonit, I wanna say a special thank you to you. I know you've always been an active participant in this group, and you've always brought so much to the table with your empathy and your eloquence and just everything you bring. So thank you for that.
Very sweet of you. Thank you, Victoria.
Anat, please.
Hi, everyone. So I initially did not do my homework. I woke up way too early this morning and sort of looked at what is on my calendar for today. And then I read your message that was supposed to come prepared. And then I just moved on with my day and I got a beautiful poem from one of my clients wishing our team a happy Hanukkah. The poem is in Hebrew and it talks all about the light, and the light always comes to defeat the dark. It's very holiday related. And with a lot of gratitude, this client said, what your team has done, what the Atlanta Holocaust Survivor team has done, and I guess we've all done. She says, it's not just that you're lighting the light today for the holiday of Hanukkah. You've been lighting the light all along with the mailings, with the deliveries, with the newsletters, the groups. I mean, everything that we're all doing. And to me, that was, you know, we all do what we do, but that a client is able to show gratitude, and so many of our clients have been able to do that, shows me the strength of the clients, that in how terrible things are for them, that they're noticing all the work that we are doing and what we're doing, and that it's really making a positive impact on their lives. So that was it for me. Once I read the client's note and I read your note, Lisa, I'm like, that's what I can bring today. So thank you. And this group has been wonderful, connecting with everybody. I miss seeing you in person at conferences and hugging everybody, but this has been wonderful. So thank you, Lisa. Thank you, Laura. Thank you, Victoria, for doing this for all of us. Thank you.
I think what you said was really beautiful, right? Everyone is lighting the light for your clients. It's so true. I'm gonna hold on to that, you know.
And I feel often like my clients light the way for me. They always say, we're so grateful. And I'm like, I'm so grateful that I get to work alongside you. And I think this Hanukkah, it's been so, like just seeing each other is so precious. So when we can make those deliveries and see each other masked and KN95'd and all safe, it's just so meaningful. It's been so meaningful.
It is.
I love that, Anat. I love when things come just when you need them, right? Shelly, do you want to share?
Yeah, I'm so grateful being part of this conversation and seeing all of your faces and hearing your stories. You know, I think everyone feels very isolated right now, both physically, you know, we're all working from home, but also a little bit isolated. I feel a little bit isolated from the work that you're doing with Holocaust survivors, and that is our entire reason for being. So I'm just so happy that you have all shared this and I can see your faces, and I almost couldn't make this call today. And I'm so glad that I have, you know, Laura shared our great news about our new federal grant award and expanding the different populations that we're serving and expanding our name to Center on Aging and Trauma, which is really exciting. And also I wanted to share, in case anyone is interested, I expanded my family.
Aww.
See him? That's little Marvin.
He looks like a little you.
Thank you. But it's this was on Thanksgiving. He's wearing a turkey shirt. So it's exciting to see his smiling face. And he has no idea what a pandemic is or is not and was born during it. And that's all he ever knows. And like, he knows exactly four adults in his life. And that's all he knows.
So different.
Happy as can be to know these four adults in his life. But we feel so blessed and lucky and really lucky to have all of your support too.
Thank you for telling us that. And mazel tov.
Thanks.
Hi.
Jenny, did you want to say something?
Yeah. I've been thinking, you know, sitting here and being part of these groups for so long and how grateful I feel, almost to the point of being sort of verklempt. You know, been working with Holocaust survivors as part of a network through our first grant back in 1995. And so I sort of feel not just my hair's gray, but I sort of feel like the old patootie in some ways, having been around from those early days with Shelley and with JFNA and Miriam and the Claims Conference. And at one point there were just like five or six of us across the country who were doing this work until it really started to grow. And so being part of this, I'm so grateful. I really sort of kol hakavod, I take my hat off. And I really do feel a little verklempt. Maybe it's the end of 2020 and it's Hanukkah, but I appreciate being part of you all, this group. And thank you for those kind words, Victoria. And just want to be available to help how I can in any way that I can. And you're all just doing amazing work and so grateful to be a part of it.
Well, we're grateful you're here with all your experience.
This, you know, Jenny, when you said that, it reminded me of that like the first part of Pirkei Avot, which is the ethics of our fathers, I'll say our ancestors since I'm a avowed feminist, but the ethics of our ancestors, which says like so-and-so gave it to so-and-so who gave it to so-and-so who gave it, you know, Jenny. And I think it's like such an important point. We can't do this. There's such a lineage and there's such a linking that's so important in the work that we're doing. And that's like our biggest hope is that this group can be, you know, a link. And it really, I mean, because really when this all started, so many people were coming to me, we don't get claims conference funds. What are we supposed to do? And I was sort of like hot. I was just training them one off. And this is so much powerful when we can do this together and share and accomplish this, you know, in concert. It's so much more powerful. So we're so glad you're here. Anyone else want to share a woohoo? Yes, Laura.
I always have to say something. I echo everything that everyone says here. It's, you know, especially since COVID, someone just wrote, I think, like they become like family. We certainly have spoken to our survivors far more, I think, than we ever used to, you know, because we would sort of speak to them as needed. But now we really try to call a couple times within a quarter, at least, to make sure that they're safe, they're fine, they have food, that they're going to the doctor's appointments if they need doctors. I mean, so many people don't want to go to the doctors and they're fearful of the doctors, or they don't want their, you know, I mean, I'm telling you, I'm preaching to the choir. So y'all know what it is, but I feel like it's helped us form stronger bonds with the people in our community. I also would say since the claims conference has put out something about the compensation and getting, you know, sending more funds to the people, we have increased quite a bit our caseload in like a month. And I'm seeing a lot of people shake their head that it's, you know, I mean, it's crazy how busy and how much more we're doing trying to get people connected in times of COVID, in making sure that everybody not being able to see people. So, this is, and we're also getting audited, just so y'all know, right now by the claims conference. So it's a lot of fun here in Boston. But I would say that, you know, we're certainly seeing a growth of survivors joining our program since in the last 9 months. We have grown and we actually onboarded a new staff person, new Russian speaking staff person, which is really hard to onboard someone when you can't really work with them that closely and to teach them all the things that they need to know. But I'm pretty proud of the fact that she has jumped right in and it's fantastic. So we have a great staff. So anyways, that's I just, and one last thing is to say that we did start our virtual, you know, programming, socialization program that we do once a month. And it's been really fun to teach people Zoom. And then once we've taught them, they're able to connect with other people and other programs. So it's not like they're just talking to us. They're now, we opened up communication for them by teaching them Zoom. And we've taught over 50 people so far how to use Zoom. And that's been really exciting for the community. And I think for the families that they feel like their parents are, if they have computers. So.
Well, isn't that key?
Yeah.
But it's changed their lives, right? They can connect.
Yeah. Them. And even showing people sometimes Zoom can be done without a smartphone or, you know, that they can call in. So right. For those who can hear, that too is also always a piece. So it's just connecting them and keeping them engaged.
Yes.
I want to share, Rebecca wrote to everybody because her connection is not stable, a beautiful story. Asia, who is 95 years old and almost blind, joined us for the first time last week, and her daughter sent me an email about how much difference we made in her mom's life. She was singing in a silent mode along with our performer, and she joined our yoga and was happy to participate. Now she has something to live for. And how amazing is that, that everybody, without question, everybody has really done their best to make these incredible shifts and to make these incredible leaps and bounds of changes that, like, right now we're sitting here like, yes, we have this class and this class, but it took it so much for everybody to kind of group together, reorganize, redo things. And I just, like, everybody in their head should be like saying, I am amazing right now. And the work that I'm doing is really wonderful. And you absolutely, like, pat yourselves on the back. That is exactly it.
Sometimes, sorry to interrupt, Victoria, the support groups, I'll say to our clients, I'll say, okay, raise your right or your left hand and give yourself a kol hakavod on the back, hug yourself.
Yeah.
And we say this to clients all the time, but you need to have self-compassion for yourself. So please just acknowledge, like, you know, like, we are a year in review essentially, and just acknowledging how much work all of you have done, all of us have done, has really been tremendous and amazing in our own individual ways. So Victoria, thank you, probably all of you.
Victoria, you're absolutely right, but you probably know that survivors, it's very difficult, as many of them are the most resilient people in the world, but for many of them, it's very difficult to do kol hakavod and good job. They don't do it. they very humbled, and even though they're doing great and learning new tools and new platforms and going on Zoom, and some of them laughing about it that they become Zoomy or Zumbi, they still very hard on themselves. I just spoke yesterday night with one of my survivor, who is dealing with her computer issues and, you know, old computer that doesn't allow her to do everything and anything she'd like to do and she would like to learn. And she's very hard on herself. She's saying, my two universities doesn't help me to learn what I need to learn right now. And she's in her 90s, in her early 90s. So it's very difficult for her to, you know, be compassionate to herself and say, yes, I can do it, or, you know, I want to do it. It's first step, it's I want to do it. And then she needs to learn how to do it. But the point is that yesterday, after a very long conversation with her, she said to me at the end, Maya, your team is providing so much light to us that it's enough not only for 8 days of Hanukkah. And it was very sweet of her to say, because this person, she has no family, she never been married. She's a survivor who had very long and difficult and interesting life. So to hear it from her, it was very special that, you know, our team is giving so much light that it's enough, or, you know, it's enough for more than 8 days. And again, our survivors rarely pat themselves on the shoulder. They're very tough, but they can recognize what we do for them and appreciate that. So that's important.
That is so beautiful. And I think my spiel is always, you also need to recognize what you're doing and the amazing work you do for your staff, for clients, for your community. And we ourselves, you know, like, sometimes don't do what we preach. And so this is the time where, like, this is where my bell's going off. Like, we need to recognize ourselves and the beautiful work we do ourselves. So thank you, everybody.
I just want to, I think Victoria has made this so clear. Clara put a request in the chat for someone to kind of walk her through. So if anyone feels like they could be her liaison and kind of be shoulder to shoulder, virtually, of course, as she's learning to navigate the blue card, go ahead and respond in the chat. But I just want to also encourage us, like, maybe each of us could find a thought partner, a chavruta in this group. I'll tell you that because earlier this week, I called Victoria in a bit of a panic, a bit of an emotional panic. And she just said, Laura, you need to take some time off. I was like, I need to take time off. She was like, could you explore this? What's your thinking on this? She just talked me off the ledge. This is such hard work. And so if we need to find, if you need a little chavruta, a little coach, a little partner, like, this is the place to ask and to say, like, could we set up a call every other week just to check in? because it's not easy. Anat, you want a chavruta? I see you.
Idea. Yes, yes. I would love that. What a wonderful idea. I have the most amazing team, and I feel like we are each other's chavrutas all the time, but I think that's a great idea, and maybe that can be a goal for 21 that we can, anybody who wants to join, I don't know if they send it to you or to Lisa, and we can
figure that out, Anat.
Chavrutas, how to do it?
That's a great idea. We can figure that out. We will send a survey and we can put that in there. I would like to have a thought partner / chavruta for 2021. I think it's so important to be able to lean on each other. Victoria called me right back, even with the time difference. She was so, and she's so affirming, and she's just been such an awesome part of this crew. So I'm very grateful to Victoria and Lisa for letting me hang with them.
Laura, you are too kind, and you're amazing, and everybody here is amazing.
For sure. That's for sure.
So I wanted to just read one more thing, if you guys didn't see what Rebecca wrote, because she can't, I guess, do it because her internet's unstable. It's such a privilege and an honor to be in this line of work and have this opportunity to work with survivors. We are so fortunate. This pandemic made us even closer with our clients. They've really become our family. That's probably very well said.
I have been FaceTiming, Laura Tarlin, you'll like this. I've been FaceTiming one of my clients' daughters who's a physician in Boston, just so she knows. I'm like, Gitla and I are here. Like, I just like can't help it because I just wanted to be able to lay eyes on her. So now it's a joke between her daughter and I. I'm like, sorry to bust into your exam room. And like, I just want you to see her, right? But I think, yeah, our boundaries are very different now because just there's this sense that we can't see each other. And so I think it has been a really awesome opportunity to expand our families. I like that language, Rebecca. Does anyone else want to share something? I'll put this in the chat too. Something they've given up in 2020 that they want to share. So we've talked a lot about like what have been the silver linings of 2020. What's something you've given up in 2020 that you're really proud of? What can you leave behind? What's the tsuris we could leave behind in 2020?
That's a tough one.
For that honesty. Thank you for that honesty. Yeah, Hedy, such
a personally question. Or professionally?
Well, I was thinking professionally, but it's all, you know, we are human beings. So, you know, just put it all out. This is a safe space. Put it all out, Meredith. And Hedy, I think that's great. Do you want to speak up about that? I think a lot of us felt space bound.
Yeah, I felt that I had to be with my staff individually. And just be hands-on with supervising them and have those individual meetings. And I didn't think we could do it over Zoom. And I know I have a wonderful person in the office a lot who hands out the gift cards and does a lot of that stuff. And I couldn't do it without her being there some of the time. But some of the things we thought that needed to be printed out, things that needed to be done, we can do remotely. And that's been really amazing that we're comfortable now with supervision on Zoom or on the phone. And I mean, I'm blessed that my staff has been around for years, so I have a relationship with them. But we took someone on new who was a volunteer, but I already had a relationship. But I don't have to be there all the time. Things can function. And that was quite a pleasant shock. And, you know, learning new technology and seeing that. But also feeling a lot of pain that we haven't been able to be with the clients personally and seeing how they've been re-traumatized. But personally, the change for me has been not needing to be there as an administrator. It's not the same if you're a clinician. It doesn't cover it at all. But as an administrator, I've seen that I can perhaps work more remotely. And I never thought I could even be gone for a few hours. So.
That's awesome, Hedy. You can leave that in 2020. You can leave that behind and exhale it. What else are we leaving behind? What do we not need to schlep to 2021?
Cindy shared something which is so on point. Don't miss commuting. And if that's not the case for any of us, that's like the best part of 2020. You know, like I have maybe 200 miles on my car right now for the year. And it's been great. Cindy, I'm with you 100% of the way. LA traffic is hell. So appreciating that, not having to drive, not having to sit in traffic has been really amazing this year.
It's given you a lot more time with your family as well.
And talking about family, Lisa, I've given up. Hedy, I identify with what you shared about feeling like I like need to be busy all day, every day. And I've given up 4 o'clock meetings, like 4:30 for sure, but even 4 o'clock meetings, because I have to pick my daughter up by a certain time. And it's so freeing. I say, I'm so sorry, but literally I have to pick her up by 4:15. It's the new rule. Mm-hmm. You know, when everyone understands and everyone's given, I hope, each other a lot of grace this year, just to say like, we're all just doing the best we can, but it's been nice to give up those afternoon meetings because time with family is precious. And I think I've had a little bit of space to recognize that.
And I think this pandemic has really made that even more clear, right? What about you, Elise?
I agree that I love working from home. I have to admit, I don't feel the need to rush back to my office anytime soon. So I've made my little space here, and but I think it's amazing how much we've all realized how well we can work from. That we don't have to be in the office. I'm busier than ever. Right. Somebody mentioned they're going through an audit. We're going through a claims conference audit right now as well. So they are not stopping. And, you know, that involved a lot of running into the office, making copies and scanning things, and then running back home so that I could download or upload or whatever I was doing to the Dropbox account. And so, you know, all kinds of, I just, you know, if you would have asked me last year if that was even possible to have a whole audit virtually, you know, we've learned a lot of stuff now, and it's working. You know, I really think it's working.
It really is. It's amazing what we can do now that we have this technology and everyone knows how to use it. Mm-hmm. So what I've given up, since we're talking professionally, is the hour-long affinity group meetings. They're going to be 50 minutes starting in 2021. So we have 10 minutes to breathe before the next meeting because it's too much, right? People go from meeting to meeting to meeting, and it's not healthy. So that's what I'm giving up.
I have to say, I'm in the office right now. I like working in the office. I like working in the office even more now that nobody else is in the office. but I really miss the water bubbler talk. And I really miss like just working as a team and kind of thinking and not having to call or be on the Zoom all the time. And so I actually miss being in the office with my team. And with the audit right now, like Elise just said, I mean, I really missed my volunteer who was used to do the scanning and all of the uploads and all of that kind of stuff, because I did it all. And so anyways, I just say, I don't miss the commute when it was a full commute because nobody else is really commuting, so it's easy. And I will probably want to work from home once everybody else decides to come back. But you know, I do really miss the water bubbler talk and the, you know, lunchroom and just catching up with people. And I feel like that's lacking in 2020. There's a lot of people who are working silo and forgetting. That's one of the things we definitely are focusing on here.
there is a question that came actually to both of you since you're going through audits. And this is from Leah from Houston. How is the claims conference audit different now? And do you meet with the auditors?
I was just replying, writing the response, but I'd much rather say it. So basically what happened was they sent a list of, it's a two-page list. I mean, for us, we don't have a very large program, but they're basically looking for eligibility documentation, home care billing, socialization information, and case management information. But they sent, you know, a list of clients and then what, you know, what information they wanted. So it's not that they want everything for everybody. You know, they'll say, you know, Victor, and then they want, you know, quarters 3 and 4, the consent form, and the DAF, and then the next person, it could be they want to see the ID and the subsidiarity form or the MAF. So, you know, they just to have a sampling of, you know, they have the clients and then what they want pulled from each file. And then for home care billing, they want to see, again, they list the clients, which quarter they're looking for. So it's not every client every quarter. And they want to see invoices, timesheets, and payment information. And then socialization, again, they'll say, you know, quarter 3, they want to see the food, you know, the documentation for the food expenses. And then case management, they just wanted to see information on the staff. They're not looking at case notes, which was interesting. So they just wanted some information on the social work staff. And so everything has to be, but what I'm doing is I make copies of everything. I have literally a shopping bag at home, canvas shopping bags that I just have everything in. So we made copies of everything in the office. I scanned it all in, and then we have to upload everything into this Dropbox account. So
it's so interesting. They didn't want, I don't know if you have the same, do you have a staff? Is Asaf doing your?
No, Alina.
So we don't have, they're asking us for eligibility, and every single person that, they also did the same thing with like wanting to know if you had a DAF, a DAF, mm-hmm. or a MAF, or a consent form or whatever. But for all of the clients, they wanted the subsidiary notes.
Yeah, almost right. They did
every single one they wanted that for. And for, they didn't ask us for staff, which I was really surprised, or case management. So they're only asking us, but like we buy gift cards in bulk and then we send them out as we need them. They want me to like go through and find the exact like date that I purchased a gift card to send them. It's not necessarily easy, but it's, you know, it's a little different. They don't want to see, they're
Hold
not
on.
Making any meetings with
Hold on, guys. This is what I want to suggest, because we have like 4 minutes left and there are a few things that we have to talk about. If people want to talk about the claims conference and the audit that's going on right now, we can set up a pop-up and do that at another time, which could be great. So put it in the chat if you're interested in doing that, and I'll arrange it if you want. I'll do a doodle poll and get you guys talking if that works.
You know, I was going to say, I think it's such a good idea. I see Victoria wrote that there's a Yammer channel maybe. Okay, that's good to know, Victoria. You know,
yes, terrific. There's a Yammer channel.
That's great. Shelley, good to see you. I know Maya asked a great question. Meredith, great. We'll get you on the audit group. Maya asked a good question. Have our clients, our hardship clients, been receiving the supplemental application? Okay, just by a show of
heads. So on Yammer, they actually said haven't sent out North America yet, so we're just to mail it out, so they haven't done that yet. I mean, from this was from like a week or two ago. That's the information that I have.
Perfect, Victoria. And they told us ending till end of January. We thought it was going to be end of December. That's really good information, because we have a lot of clients calling about that. I'm sure everyone does, because they put it in a Russian newspaper. That's what I said, how'd you hear about this? And our clients told us they read it in the Russian newspaper.
Russian.
So
newspaper actually got information not from claims conference, and information that posted there is not correct or true. So that's misleading.
That's tricky, Maya. Yeah, that's tricky.
Also tricky that we're all told to tell the clients that, you know, they would start coming at end of November. So we've had to do sort of, we have a system that we just started a few months ago for call them all.